Hello and welcome to episode 138 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. This week, we're going to take a look at the controversy surrounding the banning and suspension of Alex Jones from several services on the internet. I'm going to take a look a little bit at his backstory, who he is, why he's controversial, and what it was that actually has booted him off the platforms. We're going to get into all the nitty-gritty there. And then we're going to talk about whether we think it's justified or not. I'm Derek Mast, and joining me for this conversation is Ben Robin and Ryan Tankersley. Here we go. All right, Derek, let's get back to tech and away from politics soon, please. Well, you tell tech to stop getting its grubby little fingers into politics. Just go right up to tech store and just knock on it and say, hey, tech, get your fingers out of politics.
You're not being a very good tech right now, tech.
That's right.
Disciplinary action is provoked by you and you alone.
You're acting like technology is supposed to be a part of every single aspect of our lives and, you know, change the culture and everything. And I just don't understand why you're thinking that. Anyway, so we're talking about Alex Jones. First, before we get into the backstory of this guy and what's his deal, you know, proper, I would like to ask you guys, what is the first thing you think of when you hear the name Alex Jones or InfoWars?
Well, when I hear the name Alex Jones, I think of InfoWars. And when I hear the name InfoWars, I think of Alex Jones.
Oh, well, okay. That works.
If I had a halfway decent Alex Jones impression, I would do it right now. But I haven't listened to enough of him to have a good impression, and I'm actually kind of proud of that fact.
I have unfortunately listened to a lot of Alex Jones the past 2 days, and I feel like if I tried to do an Alex Jones impression, I would, I don't know, blow a capillary in my eyeball or something.
Doesn't he get really mad and like turn bright red and take his shirt off and stuff?
Yep. I mean, that's the best of Alex Jones there. That's the entertaining bit.
We have very different definitions of the word best.
It's like watching a train crash. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm editorializing already.
I'll tell you what I think of, Derek. Controversy, intrigue, villainy of the worst sort.
Yeah, mine's pretty similar to what Ben just said. It makes me think of the Microsoft guy who... That has the famous speech.
Oh,
about
Steve
Microsoft.
Ballmer, the developers.
Yes, developers. Do they look at all alike, or am I just crazy?
You know what? That's not a bad comparison when you're talking about that specific. You know, that's actually a pretty good comparison. That's interesting. That disturbs awesome. Me a little bit.
Is that the one with the you know, the YouTube video where he's talking about how it's not a game, it's just practice?
No, that's him. That.
Oh, the one where he's a man, he's 40, come at him. Like the I'm a man, I'm 40, that one.
I know you know which one that one is. I know you're just lying.
No, Tank. The PC term for it is joking.
That's fair.
You know, the fool lies and says he's joking. So say the Proverbs.
So who is Alex Jones? He's 44 years old, was married, now divorced, father of three, lives in Austin, Texas. He's been hosting radio and TV shows of a sort ever since he's graduated high school, which was like right soon after I was born, which I don't know why that made me feel like somehow like I was much closer in age to him, because, I mean, that's still like 18 years apart. But anyway, it was a very weird moment for me. But he's been doing this stuff since the early 90s. He is a conservative who is dedicated to speaking the radical truth about our world, even though he and I would very much disagree on what that truth is. But that's what he's about. He calls himself, as far as like politically speaking, he calls himself a libertarian and a paleo conservative, which tends to be a very nationalist libertarian perspective, which can lean towards racism, you know, restricting immigration, resistant to multicultural programs, that sort of thing, and also very resistant to big government and managerial society. I would like to ask you guys, what do you think his religious beliefs are? Because I actually wasn't sure about this when I first started researching.
Well, he's not a Christian.
I'm not giving anything away. What do you think? What do you think his religious views are?
I don't know other than that.
Okay. He would call himself a Christian, but generally has a very negative view of organized religion, seeing them as being in cahoots with an all-controlling government. So, you know, this is one of those. He sees everything through a very, very Orwellian lens, if you're familiar with the classic dystopia of 1984.
The book
by George Orwell
might be confusing.
Yes, classic year.
Also not the Apple television commercial.
Exactly. Yes,
just
not that either.
Any confusion, don't want there to be any.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Taylor Swift album?
No, I don't think it's that one either.
That's 1980.
No, you're thinking of Adele. She names her albums after numbers. You know.
Oh, does she? Oh, interesting. He sees most news stories as being further evidence of an actively Orwellian world government. So there's that. His career began, like I said, in the mid-90s with a live call-in format cable program. Went to radio, where he ended up getting fired in 99 because he refused to broaden the things he talked about, which is, you know, kind of a typical thing for him. That's when he got into broadcasting via the internet in 2000, which was the birth of InfoWars, which obviously has continued to this day, and that's why we're talking about it. He has been known to be controversial, basically because he's a huge conspiracy theorist. Name any high-profile shooting or disaster, and he'll find a way to call it a false flag attack, meaning it was orchestrated by the One World Government as a means to a presumably poor end. Yes, Ben, you have a question.
I bet I know what he thinks about the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, yes. Do tell.
No, you're, probably shouldn't.
You're probably right.
I probably shouldn't.
But yes, even though you don't want to say it, I will. I've heard him refer
be careful,
to like...
Be careful.
What?
I know where you're going and I'm scared for you, man.
I've heard him refer to like... microchipping and stuff as like that's something that we really need to be afraid of, like I'm sure
because it's the mark of the beast.
I'm sure he's super into the mark of the beast being that and all that, which doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that everybody who thinks that is, you know, Alex Jones. I'm just saying, like, correlation. Yeah, I'm just asking the question, right? I'm just kidding.
Have you guys
seen
the Monster Can video?
No.
I'm sure you've seen this. If you haven't seen this, oh man, you're missing out. There's a lady at a conference, she's holding up a monster can and she talks about how the M looks like the Hebrew letters for six,
yes,
and it makes 666, and then she's like this conspiracy theorist, like this is the mark of the beast and you can see Satan's fingerprints on everything in our world and stuff like that.
Yep. I had to deal with that with a coworker at my last job. It was very frustrating.
One time someone told me the apple symbol was the mark of the beast because it's the apple from Eden and it's got the bite taken out of it, mm-hmm, because Adam and Eve.
Absolutely.
Turns out it's actually just... good. I found this YouTube video. I'll watch that later. That'll be really nice. And
did you know, Ben, that if you mix the letters around in the word Santa, it actually spells Satan? Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. I've often been a fan of self-harm, and that's what this rewatching this video for the third time will be like.
Oh, man. All right, so revelation stuff aside, some of the examples of these high-profile like disasters and stuff, the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, he would have said, was orchestrated. Same with the 9/11 attacks in New York, the Sandy Hook shooting, which we talked briefly about in our 3D printed guns episode. Hurricane Irma, he claims it may have been geoengineered with a weather control weapon, So he thinks those exist. The Stoneman Douglas High School shooting, which would be the Parkland shooting that was the most recent high profile one. Really, if you name any sort of conspiracy theory, I bet you can find him supporting it somewhere online. Now, this stuff isn't necessarily like directly harmful, right? So posting about this stuff online, that's not really something that I think we should be getting upset about. People can believe what they want to believe is, you know, whatever. However, given his following, his statements also mean that it tends to spur his followers to action. So the parents of the children that died at Sandy Hook have been harassed for years for Alex Jones and his followers claiming that they're crisis actors. The kids from the Parkland shooting have been subjected to the same kind of abuse. He has regularly been antagonistic toward Muslims. And he uses such phrases towards individuals as literal demon spawn of the pit of hell or degenerate sack of anti-human trash. So this is the kind of vocabulary that we're working with. Any questions, class? You have a question, but you don't want to ask it.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time for this, but a Bible passage comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
And it's in Luke chapter 18. Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. You know the story?
Yes.
Likely? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the two attitudes of the two people in this story are sort of the two attitudes we could have towards Alex Jones.
Okay.
And I really don't want to have one of those attitudes, which is, you know, basically, thank God I'm not as bad as that guy.
Right, right.
Which I think is a serious temptation towards pride in me and maybe others as we think about this guy who seems to confront us with just these obviously ridiculous ideas and comments and even language and vocabulary towards other human beings who are made in God's image. And then this sort of, I don't know, I guess the sort of pharisaical attitude might quickly write him off as crazy or might quickly rush to censor him because of the harm he might cause others. Yeah, I guess I just am thinking maybe I should pause before I rush in to pass judgment on him in that way.
Yeah, and I didn't want to, I think I got into editorializing a little bit with my tone more than I meant to for this introduction. I think that's a good point when we're discussing this stuff. If we can fall back to the facts as opposed to getting our emotional judgy brain on, I think that's wise.
Well, and I think the tendency is exaggerated in the culture we live in because, you know, we always get Christians often get pigeonholed for being judgmental towards others. And then I think maybe one false way that we try to position against that is to be judgmental towards the people that the culture is judgmental towards, like Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's just trading judgmentalism for judgmentalism. You know, it doesn't actually, it might make us look better in the eyes of our peers, our non-Christian peers, really. But that's not actually better in God's eyes, I don't think. And I feel like it's really clear in, you know, you mentioned editorializing, but some of the articles you sent me to really catch up on this and see what's been going on, it's really interesting to see the tone with which people write about him in this regard. And it just feels like it drips sometimes with this disdain for him.
Yeah, there will be articles that I'll find that are, like, they say, you know, they come across very factual, like, very unemotional, and then they'll throw in, like, something that is obviously meant to denigrate the character of Alex Jones.
Right, right.
It just, like, kind of thrown in there because they feel snarky. Which, yeah. I mean, I can understand that emotion, but it's not, and people are fed up with dealing with him on a level playing field because he doesn't, he always takes the low road, right? It's hard to take the high road with a person who takes the low road. So I understand that.
Yeah. And I totally agree that not all ideas are created equal. So it's not that we have to give credibility to the things he's saying. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But certainly would want to treat him as a human being and would want to be careful of pride in our own hearts towards him. And I guess, like, I also, before we get into the sort of free speech thing, I also do want to say, in case it for some reason wasn't clear, I want to condemn most of what he does with the strongest language possible. Like, I think mm-hmm. it's vile, yeah. wretched, wicked. I don't approve of it in any way. I don't agree with any of it. And I know I speak for you guys too when I say that. So I'm not trying to sort of puff up anything he's saying at all mm-hmm. when I say we shouldn't be Pharisees toward him. And I don't want to be a Pharisee toward him.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, thanks for that. Well, let's take a little bit of a break before we get into the facts of what have happened the last few months with Alex Jones and InfoWars, and we'll be right back. Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. Ben, tell me about something you have from Missionalware.
I have some dope t-shirts for the Reformed Pubcast from Missionalware.
Oh, sweet. Yes, that is on there. There's a couple other podcast merch on there if you listen to other podcasts kind of in our general realm. But they also have just straight up, quotes from famous theologians like Spurgeon or
Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli.
Is he on there?
Johann Tetzel. Oh, different side. My bad.
They've got onesies. They've got mugs. They've got journals. You can find...
You can get a mug with Johann Tetzel's signature quote on it. When a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs.
Yeah, that's not true. But if you would like to look at any...
Any wrong group, my
stuff.
Bad.
Yeah, no, we are non-papists here, Ben. I don't know where you stumbled in from, but so Missionalware has been making high quality stuff since 2010, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian. So to grab something for yourself or even just to browse their designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
And be sure to purchase your indulgences.
Okay, I'm always going to record my ad reads live from now on. All right, so let's get into it. So YouTube began all of this early this year when they removed an InfoWars video in late February and gave that account a strike, citing harassment and bullying against David Hogg, a teenager from the Parkland shootings, who has been extremely vocal since the event. They also removed four more videos on July 25th, so several months later, citing hate speech against trans people and Muslims, as well as an instance of child endangerment pictured in the video. The July 25th action from YouTube spurred Facebook to take action on some content, removing four videos, citing that he was encouraging physical harm based on religion or gender identity. And that resulted in a 30-day ban from posting videos on his personal page and giving a warning to the InfoWars page. So up till now, he hasn't been full-on banned yet. Spotify then followed up on August 1st, removing several podcast episodes from their service, citing there was content whose principal purpose is to incite hatred or violence against people because of their race, religion, disability, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Then Stitcher followed on August 2nd by being the first company to completely remove Jones's six podcasts from its platform. Their statement said, "We have reviewed Alex Jones' podcasts and found he has, on multiple occasions, harassed or allowed harassment of private individuals and organizations, and that harassment has led listeners of the show to engage in similar activity. Therefore, we have decided to remove his podcasts from the Stitcher platform." Apple, on August 6th, removed all but one of Jones's six podcasts from Apple Podcasts for hate speech, saying, "Apple does not tolerate hate speech, and we have clear guidelines that developers and creators must follow to ensure we provide a safe environment for all of our users. Podcasts that violate these guidelines are removed from our directory, making them no longer searchable or available for downloading or streaming. We believe in representing a wide range of views so long as people are respectful to those with differing opinions. Then Facebook came back into the fray and announced they were removing 4 of Jones' Facebook pages, including InfoWars. Facebook's statement was this: since the original ban, more content from the same pages has been reported to us. Upon review, we have taken it down for glorifying violence, which violates our graphic violence policy, and using dehumanizing language to describe people who are transgender, Muslims, and immigrants, which violates our hate speech policies. All 4 pages have been unpublished for repeated violations of community standards and accumulating too many strikes. While much of the discussion around InfoWars has been related to false news, which is a serious issue we're working to address, blah, 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 none of the violations that spurred today's removals were related to this. And then companies just started following like dominoes. YouTube finally suspended the entire Alex Jones channel, and Pinterest, LinkedIn, and MailChimp all also banned InfoWars on August 6th and 7th. Twitter was the one holdout, as I'm sure some people who were following the story noticed, because everybody was posting about this. Twitter didn't initially ban him, and of course the internet hated Jack Dorsey for that. he posted then explaining that he thought Alex Jones didn't violate any of their policies. However, just yesterday, breaking news, Jones was suspended from posting for 7 days because he posted a Periscope that contained what a Twitter spokesman called an incitement to violence. And I think that brings us up to speed. So to wrap it up, everybody is citing general hateful speech or harassment or abuse. Nobody is talking about fake news when they're talking about banning Alex Jones. People are not saying this is due to his politics. You can spin that however you want, but this is what people are saying. And indeed, on some of those videos that I was looking at, Alex Jones commonly does things like, you know, we got to hold on to our assault rifles and prepare for, you know, 1776, that sort of thing. Like, he is very much he very much feels that we need to stand up to the global conspiratorial government that is trying to subject us to whatever it wants to subject us to. So, and I figured there was a question here that was worthwhile asking to myself to answer. Is he essentially banned from the internet at this point? He's been deplatformed on a lot of places. But InfoWars is still up and running with all of his videos and everything. He still has a voice. His people can still find where he's at. He's still selling his stuff. He apparently has suffered some DDoS attacks on InfoWars that has brought it down a couple of times since all of this happened. But last I checked, it was up and doing fine. And as far as I can tell, he can pretty much do that forever. There's always a way to stay up in the internet. The problem is just if he can be found by his people. So, yeah.
Just ask Pirate Bay.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Pirate Bay is somehow still alive, even after being, like, I don't know, raided like 5 or 6 times.
Normally the pirates do the raid.
Yeah, that's right. You can never out-raid a pirate. So, let's get back to the question of whether we think that this deplatforming of Alex Jones is justified, and what your thoughts are, what your feelings are, especially as Christians who tend to feel antagonism from the popular opinion nowadays. This sort of a story makes us nervous, right? Because we don't want to be on the wrong side of the banned stick. Even though we may be conducting ourselves with perfect decorum and gentleness and that sort of thing, we don't want to be part of this. And there's that whole saying of they came for Alex Jones, and then they came for blah blah blah, and then they came for us, and nobody stood up for us. I'm heavily paraphrasing. So what are your thoughts on this whole thing? What should we be thinking about? Should this have happened?
First of all, I haven't listened to much or any of him. I think I saw a YouTube video some point.
I thought you were about to say, of what you just said. Could you just repeat everything, Derek?
Yeah, I was too busy watching some conspiracy video about the monster and the Mark of the Beast.
Yeah!
You made some really good points. I haven't listened to much of what he said. And so it's hard for me to be a really good judge in that. And thankfully, I don't know if I would really want that job anyway, at least in this situation for all these big platforms. But one key thing that you said really was like, that's fair, I think. Like, because I was thinking, what qualifies as hate speech? And I think that's, yeah, as Christians, we can get accused of.
Because it's so vague, right?
Hate speech.
Mm. Yeah.
But I really liked what they said, Facebook, I think it was, in that they said he dehumanizes people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I mean, it's up to each individual platform how they do their terms of service. Because like you said, the internet's still open. That's InfoWars' platform, and then he's using a service. And so I don't know to what degree, that's a different conversation perhaps, but what degree services can... ban people for their definitions of hate speech. But a definition of hate speech that includes dehumanizing people, I think, is a very valid definition of saying things along the lines of that person is not a human. Maybe they're just an animal and completely devaluing. And I think if that definition stays alive as hate speech, Christians... following the Bible will not be accused of that definition. We could be accused of dehumanizing people, I suppose. But
I think we already are. I think people are already saying, and it may not be a large group, may not even be a loud group, but people are already saying, if you tell me that I'm not who I think I am, you are dehumanizing me.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. Even though we may be giving them all the space in the world and just noting that we as Christians don't believe that homosexuality is a good thing, that homosexuality is a sin, that's people are still going to feel like they're being dehumanized. But I do like that definition better. Like, I agree with you that I like that definition better than hate speech. Because it gets to the content of what you're saying, as opposed to where hate speech is about trying to figure out what the person's emotion is in saying something, right? So it takes it to more of a factual area, I think.
And so I guess along that lines that maybe we will be accused of dehumanizing people, but I don't think the fear of us being accused of dehumanizing people should stop us from agreeing with platforms that pull down people who actually are dehumanizing people. And I think if platforms have, you know, people who are trying to judge fairly on a broader scale, then more than likely reasonable Bible believing people and Jesus loving Christians should be fairly protected from those who are seeking after pulling down speech because of dehumanizing, if that makes sense. While a group may say that we are accused of dehumanizing, a platform that allows people to use its services and get a following, such as Facebook and Twitter, hopefully won't go so far as pulling down all Christians just because they say homosexuality is a sin, for instance. But even if it does, I would say that at this point in time, I would prefer to fight those who definitely are dehumanizing people, even if it risks getting to that point in the future.
I find myself in the odd situation of trying to hold two things together again.
Yeah.
Which seem really difficult to hold together. And one is that I want to agree full-throatedly with something Tank just said, which is, he didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing what I think he's saying. It's a bad argument to say they shouldn't do this to Alex Jones because one day they might do it to us.
Yeah.
That it does not follow that therefore they shouldn't do it. Just like I think it's a really bad argument to say if the Bible's not inerrant, then we won't know which parts are inerrant. So it must be inerrant. That does not follow.
Like, yeah.
I understand the problem, but that doesn't follow. It's just a bad argument. So I want to say that, but I also want to say it sure seems like the world is always going to find what we say to be harmful or incorrect or hateful to them, because we're even told in Scripture that the gospel is folly to those who are perishing. They're always going to think we're foolish, and that we're going to be surrounded in these last days that we now live in by people who call good evil and evil good. And so there's an element of that that we should just expect straight from the Bible. Yeah. And I guess, yeah, just to give you guys something to respond to, because I'm really curious, where I'm at on all this at the moment is I'm not even sure if I'm comfortable with the category of hate speech. Like, it just feels like, I don't know how you draw careful lines, especially that everyone can agree on, if you have even this category of hate speech. Like, we're going to ban what we consider hate speech. And even like the way Apple talked about it on the podcasts, right? We don't let people who aren't respectful to others' views, to others and their views, be on our platform. Well, who defines what's respectful? Mm-hmm. Like, is me saying that I think Islam is a false religion, that it's idolatry, that it's not going to tell you the way to heaven, is that respectful to their view? Mm. It depends on who's asking, right? And yeah. So I do think that there's not neutrality. Like, it's not that we can just define this category of hate speech and then ban it, because we don't even agree what hate speech is. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And I guess me as a Christian, and I know I'm sure you guys would agree with this as fellow Christians, I care a lot more about, if we're going to be censoring or banning anything, I care a lot more about blasphemy than I do about hate speech to my neighbor, right? I mean, certainly loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength is the great commandment. And the second is like it, but it's the second, which mm-hmm. is love your neighbor as yourself. So if we're going to prioritize here, I'd care a lot more about somebody blaspheming than I would about somebody being hateful in their speech. And I don't want either to happen.
Right.
But nobody's ever going to put up blasphemy laws. So yeah, I guess I just feel a little stuck on this one with the category to begin with.
Yeah. It's because there's the whole... Part of the whole problem with this is that we've got huge companies on the internet that are the platform for so many people, for essentially everybody who's on the internet is on like probably one of two or three platforms.
Yeah.
Or all three. And so it becomes almost a government unto itself, which is a weird place for a company to be. Like, we haven't really had that. I mean, maybe media companies, but media companies are also treated very differently from technology companies. It's such an interesting time I feel like we need to do, I asked for questions in the Slack, and David Latchett brought up a whole series of questions on freedom of speech and whether like tech companies should adhere to that. I have no idea. there's a lot of questions and a lot of things to consider there that I am not educated enough to answer.
I think it revolves around whether or not it's a public service or a public good, right?
Right,
like,
right.
I think have agreed, well, I guess not with net neutrality, or with the net neutrality laws, but, I thought we had agreed that the internet was a public service, but even if that's true, is Facebook, because that's just a part of the internet.
Exactly.
And your point is Facebook is so big, that maybe it should be.
Yeah, right. And how do you even deal with that? Like, how do you let a company still be itself without... Yeah, I just have no idea. And I don't think anybody has any idea on the internet, because everybody keeps talking about this, the problem, and yeah, nobody has any good ideas. So anyway... So that wraps up our show for today.
Tank, do you have closing thoughts or more thoughts?
Well, this, of course, doesn't solve the problem, and it wouldn't, but it's like whenever I think about this, when I was thinking before the show and even what I shared, the problem came up of it's like, where do we find the line? You know, like where's the as low as you can go without going too low? And it reminds me of that Piper quote, John Piper. It says, you know, in like our relationship with God, many people are minimalist in like, how close can I get to sin without actually sinning? Whereas we want to be maximalist in how close can I get to God? Like, how much can I love people? How much can I love God? And I want to always be pursuing greater. And it's just like, as I think of Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only what is good for building up, that you may give grace to those who hear. Roughly ESV. you know, if we all were pursuing that, this wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's just like finding these lines and having that kind of conversation. How far is too far on the internet? How far is too far on Facebook? Of course, the world is never going to... The world we live in requires us to have those conversations to a degree. But it's just kind of a sad thing, you know, if we were all pursuing that mindset, like always building each other up, always speaking truth. And of course, we all had the foundation of truth. That is God's word. Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue. And I hopefully, you know, in our places of worship in the churches and together with us, that is the kind of talk that we're always pursuing, building each other up. And then at least in the sphere of around brothers, then this shouldn't have to be a conversation again within the sphere, maybe about Facebook as we are brothers having this conversation about that. But it's just something, just a contrast that I was thinking of as I was considering this topic.
And that's just one of the many reasons why Alex Jones is not a Christian.
Fair enough. If you would like to get in on the conversation, let us know what you thought about what we thought about, or if you just have ideas that you want to get out there and get feedback on, hit us up in our Slack at slack.techreformation.com. Got an episode discussion channel in there, so you can get in there and give us your thoughts.
Or you can follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation.
If we ever get banned from all the platforms, there's still techreformation.com.
That's right.
You can find us on christiandailyreporter.com.
This has been Tech Reformation.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice. I ain't looking back. Repent, I say.
Oh, man.
What will you believe if you do not believe the Bible? There is no choice but to believe something ridiculous and absurd. Depend on it, no man is so grossly naive as the man who denies the Bible to be the Word of God. And if it be the Word of God, be careful that you don't despise it. Just put that clip in at the end.
Just no surrounding context, just... And then I like say, like, all NPR-esque, excerpt by J.C. Ryle, quoted for you by Benjamin Robin.
Derek. Men may tell you that there are difficulties in the Bible, things hard to understand.
Do you do this to your wife? And
oh, yeah, all the time, man. Last night I was doing it. It would not be God's book if there were not. And what if there are? You don't despise medicines because you cannot explain all that your doctor does with them.
Our sponsor this week is Missional Wear. Our sponsor this week...
I want to buy him now.
Our sponsor this week is Smoker's Cough.
Our sponsor this week is J.C. Bishop J.C. Ryle. Chapter 2.
No!